I am scared to death. I just want to get that out, you know, get that pressure off of me. I just, I've been serving the Lord now for 25 years, and every time I get into the pulpit, I feel so unworthy. You know, and I know that's a good thing for me, and it's designed for God to help me to understand I'm just a servant. And one of the reasons why, because of the gifts and talents that he have given me and the ability of his strength, that at one given time I used to call it my own. Will you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, again, I thank you for allowing me to stand before your people and just to share about your strength, about your mercy, and the things that you are doing and have did in my life. Have you made a way out of no way? You allow me to walk through Jordans. You have parted the Red Sea. I've stood before Jericho. I have wrestled with Ai. You have allowed me to see so many things. And my testimony is, if it had not been, if it had not been for the goodness of the Lord,
yes,
and all what he have done for me, you have allowed me to see myself so I could see you. I was blind with the things within myself, and you allow me to see it with mercy. You allow me to see it with grace. And now I stand and I give you the glory because, Lord, not because of I'm doing a favor, that, Lord, it belongs to you.
Yes.
All belongs,
yes,
to you. So, Lord, as I share your testimony about your strength, Lord, I pray for a freedom of your spirit. I pray, Lord, that I will fall in the flow of what you have, the river you have put before this pulpit. Lord, I don't want to create one. I just want to flow in what you already have here. So if, in order to do that, Lord, I must follow. So God, lead me, please.
Yes, yes.
Lead me to the rock that's higher than high. Lead me in a way, God, that I would know that I have drank the living water today. And the goodness of the Lord and the name of the Lord will be lifted. And the people's heart will be encouraged to step out beyond what is normal to us. Again, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Do I need to pull this down some? I got it too high. Okay. All right. Well, good morning. I'm grateful to be here. If you bring the gain down a little bit, it probably help out. Testing, testing. Okay. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude to stand before you and to see the favor upon each one of you, how God have favored this church and the compassion he have for it. You know, you can feel the compassion when you walk in, the compassion of Jesus Christ. He have look upon this church, and I know that's others, but he have look upon this church to be example to this community. And it will come a time that the door is going to be open, and you're not going to have enough room for what God's going to bring in. And he's going to bring in not only, he's going to bring in the hurting, he's going to bring in the rejected, he's going to bring them in. And, you know, he already started. If you look very closely, he already started, you know. And the Bible says, what God started, he shall bring it to a completion. So he wants you to know he have invested in your treasure, and he get ready to make a withdrawal in each one of you. You know, them times that you have loved on each other, you know, that was practice. Now he's going to allow you to love on others. And it's a wonderful opportunities. With God, it's never a challenge. It's always opportunities. You know, we don't have challenges with God. We have opportunities because, you know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he defeated everything. And once we start to look in within ourselves, we find out that we are more than a conqueror, those who are in Christ Jesus. See, in the New Testament, I believe that we was a conqueror. I mean, in the Old Testament, we was a conqueror. In the New Testament, we are more than. And you go back and you look at chapter 4 with Cain and Abel. And after, you know, when Cain wanted to kill his brother Abel, God said something was very important. He gave Cain, he's saying, Cain, you know, your heart is not right. And he said, you must master this. He was telling him he had the power to overcome the thoughts in his heart. And Jesus Christ had not died on the cross, so he had a master in him. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, we are more than. We're just not able to defeat it, but we are able to use it for the glory of God. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. So I want to share a little bit about my testimony today. The testimony, if it had not been for his goodness. God's mercy and grace is just amazing in my life. And it started here. You know, I was raised up under very strong leaders. And I John Mazzano, Carl Bolton, George Ainsworth, David Butt, Bill Copeland. All these guys played a very important part of my life. You know, my kids went to Covenant School. I was living on Riverside Avenue. Because of my lifestyle, and I served 5 years in penitentiary and got out. John came over to see me and others too, right there, Payne. And I came back into this community and right around from the church. And John gave me a job here. And they really didn't have work for me. So what they did, they brought a 22-inch lawnmower, and I cut the grass. At the end of the week, I just did the same thing all over again. You know, and the goal was not so much for me to cut the grass, was just to support me and help me to get through a process of understanding. And also, I had 4 pastors at my beck and call that I could go to every day and to talk to. I had my own little seminary here. You know, and sometimes they were tell me some things that I was on the right course. Sometimes you look at me and say, William, the way you're thinking is just wrong. But nevertheless, you know, it just got to a place that it really laid a strong foundation. And then Bill was not on staff, but he used to preach every now and then. And I remember the day he came to me and talked to me about my kids to go to Covenant School. Now, I was making $63 a week because restitution, you know, because of the crime I did, it was taking so much money out of my check. So at the end of the week, I was making $63. So I had to work at night buffing cars in the front of my house to trying to provide for my family. So when he came, I didn't have the money to do it. He worked it out, so all my kids went to Covenant School. You know, and it's a powerful testimony of, you know, I love you. You and Cherry, y'all have as you can see, it just getting better. You know, God just kept doing things in my life and allowing me to see his mercy and grace. And I never forget the day. I used to come to the altar every day for at least about an hour and a half. And I was here and just talking to God about all the things I'm just so grateful for. And I remember the Lord just, it was like an amplified speaker just in my spirit and saying, William, the same grace I've given you, the same way I've given you, now go give it to others. And, you know, and I knew I had to do that. So I started doing exactly what I was receiving. I started going out and going into neighborhoods and, you know, going into them places that I could go to, you know, because of my lifestyle. Now, what was against me, God is using for me. I just want you to know, your sin is nothing but an opportunity for God to turn everything around and use it for his glory. Amen. So I started going into these areas and started working in the church and working with other pastors, going into the jail. And finally, just got this burning desire to do more for God. And I was, John called me up one day and asked me that it was a man named Charles Cutchins. He was over in the jail and he wanted me to go witness to. But what John didn't know, Charles Cutchins was one of the biggest challenges I had when I was in jail. So Charles Cutchins worked faithfully trying to get me out of my faith when I was in jail. Without going into details, you know, but nevertheless, and to be obedient to my pastor, I said, okay, I go. But my mindset was I'm going to go and say hi and bye and pretty much and they're going to be over with. But when I got over there, I seen God was really doing something in his life. God was moving in his heart. And I was sitting before that, and I was doing everything I could to make the excuse that I did not want to serve this man. And at the end of the conversation, he said, I'm getting ready to get out, and I got nowhere to go. Now, I'm living down here in Housing Authority. We're living in a three-bedroom, and we have four kids. And when I walked out the door, I could hear God say, I want him to come stay with you. Now, I had to go and tell my wife that the guy that I told her I didn't like, God just told me to bring him into our home. So I went back and I talked to her, and we were very grateful for what God was doing, very grateful. And God allowed Joyce to an agreement, and we brought Charles in. But when we brought Charles in, and this is what's the, it was so many challenges there because I had to pick Charles up at 7 o'clock in the morning. I had to bring him into my home, which I really didn't trust him at the time. And I had to go to work, drop him off at 7 o'clock and go to work. And that was a challenge. So I had to trust God beyond my understanding. And I think about the scriptures when the scriptures talk about how God would give us, how we get understanding. And from that understanding, as we put it to practice, we'll start to learning about it, what it really means. And that's what God been doing in my life. I've been getting it. But as I put it to practice, I'm coming to find out it means so much more than my understanding. It's so much more than what my mind or my intellect or my academic achievements can give me. And the only way I can understand it when I put it to practice. So I started to put it into practice, and I see God made a way out of no way. Charles became a part of our family. We became very close in the Lord. And I had to take three kids and put in one room, and my oldest son put in a room with Charles. See, all that was based on faith. You know, when you go back and you look at that, you say, well, the reality of it is, if God is not speaking, that didn't make too much sense at all. Well, my life been like that ever since. Nothing have changed. You know, I'm going to kind of move forward because it's a long testimony, but I want to get to some very important pieces that I think God wants to share with you today. You know, so after then, we just started working towards that, and we got a group of men together and leaders together, and we started working towards the just helping each other. And what I didn't understand, what I understand now, I thought the bridge was accomplished through that, but it wasn't. It was accomplished in serving each other, loving each other, and from that, it built the bridge. And that's what I see here. I see the love and the support you give each other, and God want to build a bridge with you. So God it's your time to build a bridge. It's your time for people to come and to benefit from this church and understanding in ways because it's in you. It's already, the bridge already been established in the spirit. You just have to allow God to manifest it in the practical. So once we start to doing it, we went through all these different opportunities, and finally we purchased the Bridge Ministry, a 17.3 acre in Buckingham. But again, many people came. Christ Community used to bring groups of 50 down, and we used to work on it and get it in order. And finally the first guy came in, and from that we went up to about 50 different guys. A lot of people gave to it and worked with it. Now, what happened of it is that after I got everything going, I didn't realize to the level that I was operating in grace, but then I had to start to going into my roots and seeing the things was in my heart that I was overlooking, and I was just taking God's word to put on top of the reality of my weakness. I want to make sure that I get in. Okay. So after 4 or 5 years of working in the bridge and getting to a place, I start to taking on the responsibility of this organization, sustaining this organization in the name of William, but I had God's name posted. And it became all about me. Now, when you looked at it from a distance, you could believe that, you know, everything was going really good and things was in order. But behind the scenes, I was working 80 hours a week, and I wasn't at home. My relationship with my wife was falling apart. My kids didn't see me. Waverly, one of my sons who was in the military really didn't need me. None of that was happening. But if you looked at the bridge itself, you could think that everything was moving forward. Maybe somebody can relate to me in here. So finally got to a place in time when you live like that, it just came to an ending. One day I woke up and I decided to run. And the way I did it, I knew the Lord had an anointing on my life to preach and to teach his word. And I knew that one day that I was supposed to start a church. So what I did, I started a church premature. Now the anointing was there, but the discipline and the order in my life was not. So I started living on the anointing, but the anointing need a foundation to live on. There was no foundation. So in the beginning, everybody got excited about it. It went up to about 275, was here in the evening time. We was having a wonderful time in the Lord, you know. And what I was doing is doing the same thing that I did to the Bridge Ministry. I was creating it all over again. It really was based on what I want and didn't want to deal with my issues. But just before the first service, the word of the Lord came, and it said, a young man came to me who did not know the scriptures. He was a Bridge brother. He did not know the scriptures, didn't, you know, raise up in church. And he said, the Lord woke him up in the middle of the night, and he gave him the book of Haggai. He said, the Lord told me to give this to you, Pastor, and I don't even feel worthy to give it to you because I don't know anything about the scriptures. Well, the Lord understood that it took someone like him to give me that scripture, because anyone else, I would battle with it. I would put on my self-righteousness, and I would make sure that proved to them they was wrong. Maybe I'm the only sin in the house. Again, I bring you my weakness to unveil his strength. All right. So I ignore that and decided to, eventually things kept moving forward. We got an opportunity to move out and started having a morning service. And I, because of the gifts and talents I have, I went over here and took a storefront building and turned into a really nice little church that could hold about 240. And the Lord, I got a word over it. The Lord said, this church is going to be like a hospital. People are going to come and they're going to go, but they're not going to stay. But many are going to come and get healed. So I seen pastors come in. I seen leaders come in from the community, you know, and God's word was true. So, but yet and still, the book of Haggai kept coming back. Another gentleman came to the church and said, William, the Lord told me to give you the book of Haggai. And then he said, he wants you to go back to Buckingham. And I said to him, man, you don't lost your mind. I'm not going back to Buckingham. I have did what I need to do in Buckingham, and I'm not going back. Because Buckingham to me was a pain that was stirring in my heart, but it had nothing to do with Buckingham. It had to do with things that I didn't want to deal with. The things of my father, you know. I don't want to bring my testimony today, but I believe the one that's on the table is the one you're supposed to have. But in my first book, I talked about my father, my relationship. At the age of 14, my father shot me. I survived and ran away from home and lived in the streets. And this is how a lot of this journey started. But to get to the meat of the matter, I wanted to kind of start in the middle, making sure you hear his strength. So finally, we get to a place that, you know, George Morris came by, and he sat down with me. He said, William, the Lord really wants you to go back to Buckingham. I said, George, I don't want to go back to Buckingham. I don't want to deal with Bridge. Matter of fact, I was in the process of closing it down. I don't want to deal with it no more. You know, I've just, since the day I said I do, it was just work, because somehow or another, I never allow what I'm doing today did then. Trust the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not on thy own understanding, but acknowledge him and allow him to direct my path. I didn't do that. So, and because of that, it created a lot of pain inside of me, a lot of hurt inside of me. And even blaming God for things he had nothing to do with. Blaming God because of my own strength, of my own understanding, of my own way, that I started using God for the excuse, you know, and still looking in the mirror and seeing myself. So finally we get to this place, and I'm not going to go. I'm not going back to Buckingham. Well, in the book of Haggai, you go read about the book of Haggai, the Lord talked about how he sent mold, he sent moths, he sent things against them to try to encourage them to do the right thing. Well, in the church, somehow or another, mold got into the church. And we didn't know mold was in the church, but I was getting really sick, going back and forth to the hospital. I didn't know what was going on, and it got really, really bad to a place that I really couldn't breathe. And we didn't know it was mold. But my rebellion against the Lord was so strong. What I did, now, you're going to have mercy for me here, because I'm going to take you to a place to show you the strength that God gives you. You can use it for him, or you can use it against him. Are you with me? And I made a decision to use it against him. So I was coming to the church, and I got Jay to set up a special room for me. On Sunday, I would come into, as soon as I walk into the church, I could pick it up. It was really, really bad. And so Jay set up the room. They had pretty much oxygen in the room. And yes, I was determined not to go back to Buckingham. And God, we going to fight about this. You know? My God. So finally, I goes into the room. Jay set everything up for me. I get the oxygen that I need. You know, they finish the worship. I run into the pulpit. I preach the word. I leave out. That went on for a period of time, but it just kept getting worse and worse. And no one else in the church got sick but me. You think I would get it, right? When you're operating in your own way, it blinds you to the reality. It blinds you to the reality that you will really believe that you're doing what's right when it's totally wrong and against God. So finally, I'm sitting there, and you know the church is full of mold, and it's awful. We got people come in and get all of it out, but it wouldn't change for me. No one else gets sick. I'm still getting bad off. And finally, I say to the Lord, "Okay, I'll go back." And now I have to go to the people in the congregation again and say, hey, you know, I got to go back to Buckingham. Now, they was in agreement, and they said, okay, you know, if you feel like you got to do this. But the church was a really nice church, spirit-filled. The power of God was with us. You know, it would have been easy if God just present wasn't there and everybody like, okay, yeah, time for it. Let's get out of here. No. The power of God was there. I felt the power of God. He was with me. He was with me. Even though I was doing crazy things, he was with me. You know, and I think about the scripture when he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That he knew that was something on my life that he was trying to get into my heart, and I was fighting him. I didn't want him in there because I was afraid of it. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't have control of it. You know, it was like walking on water. You know, I didn't want to go into that place. I didn't want to trust God to do what I can't do and trust him to do it. So finally, I just got to a place, and I mean, Joyce got in the truck, and we went back to Buckingham, and I was walking the property, and the presence of the Lord was there, but the glory was gone. I could feel his presence, but his glory was gone. And I looked around, and it was awful. Everything. And the ruins was awful. The book of Haggai was real. I experienced it in getting back to Buckingham, and I experienced it when I was there, when I walked on that property. But the Lord, he said in the book of Haggai, he said, William, I'm not going to do it for you, but I'll be with you. And he said, get to work. Get it done. So I started working. Now, when we go back, everything was coming to an end, and we have to walk by faith. And, You know, and the Lord is, we don't have the resources, we don't have anything. Everything is pretty much depleted. Matter of fact, 7 years before, again, this is a lot in this testimony, 7 years before, the Lord spoken to me in Joyce, and he put something in my spirit that I kept saying, and it became a part of who I am, for the blind to see, the lame to walk, the mute to speak, the dead shall rise. He put that in my spirit, and every time I say it, I could feel it just stirring in my bosom. And one day I'm up there praying, and I heard the Lord say, I want everything back. And I said, okay, what does that mean? And he said, I want everything. Everything I've given you financially, I want it back. I want you to replant it. And, you know, I got excited about it because I knew the Lord was saying it. So I go to Joyce, and I told Joyce about it, and I said, well, the Lord want all that money back. I want all his money back. And she said, okay, let me pray about it. And she came back a couple of days. She said, go ahead and give it. Now, again, I have my way of giving it. So I give him all the money, but I know I have a lot of resources and things. So I held on to that. So I said, well, he asked for the money. He didn't ask for the things. Maybe I'm the only sinner in the house here. So I'm always trying to work around the reality of what I have to do directly. I want to make sure that rests. I want to add my peace into that. I'm looking for that comfort. I'm looking for my way. And I want to call it God's way. So finally, it get to a place that because I waited, the Lord waited. And I seen the Lord do things like, when I say giving everything, I had kids in college. I gave everything. I didn't have a savings account. I didn't have something on the side. We gave everything. We went to every account, and we gave everything. So I went from, you know, having a balanced finance to zero in one day. I still had mortgage payments. I had kids in college. I had all them things that while we work hard for. And I woke up $50,000 behind on my mortgage, kids in need. All these things was happening. And the first thing I was thinking, well, did I hear this right? This can't be God. And I remember, you know, after $50,000 behind my mortgage, I finally got a call saying in 2 weeks, we're going to foreclose on your house. And I'm like, okay. And then the next day, the Lord spoke to me, I want you to go here to then here to Appomattox, and I got a church there that I want you to set up a sound system. So the day there was foreclosure on my house, I was setting up a sound system for the Lord. And I got home, and I got a call to come to Charlottesville. And I got to Charlottesville, and a lady walked up to me and said, William, the Lord told me to give you this $100,000. You got some bills you need to take care of. So, like, amen. That was good. But he never gave me enough that I would be comfortable because he knew I was looking for that comfort. I always looking for that comfort. So, you know, with things that he always kept something there that I had to keep leaning towards him, not to my understanding, but leaning towards his understanding. And the way he did it is with the things in my life. He started working with those things in my life. So finally, it get to a place with him that when we go back, we start to building and renovating the property, working on the property. We are $93,000 behind on the mortgage on the property. And the Lord kept telling me, just keep working. Keep working. Take care of the guys. And we did. He made sure the men's got everything they need. You know, they're blessed, believe me. They live well. God bless them. Everything is good with them. But the mortgage was there, and You know, sometimes we was in need for this and we was in need for that. God always provided a way. So finally we get that call. I knew that call was coming. We get that call and say, William, you got 2 weeks to come up with $100,000. First he said, we want you to pay all of it off. And he said, but you got 2 weeks to come up with $100,000 to get this done and to bring this back in balance. If not, we're going to go ahead and foreclose on the property. Now, I got 18 men on the property. So when it first came, I was a little fearful, but after a day or so, I got excited because I know the God who started this work going to bring it to completion. I knew that because I have testimony after testimony after testimony. So finally, at the end of it, the Lord told me to do this, do a few different things. And that 2 weeks, the day of, we look in our account and we had $101,000. And we paid that off. I am blessing. This testimony is so much more than what I can share with you today. We don't have time for it. I can talk to you about a tabernacle that he told me to go back and build, and it's the Pool of Bethesda. It's a place of healing that people used to travel back in 1950, many miles to come there to be healed. And we was getting ready to tear it down because it was ruins. And the Lord spoke to me and said, build it. And he sent people there. We didn't have the money to do it. It cost $245,000 to build it. And every time I finish one project, somebody show up and give me the resources to go to the next one. And I have seen people have walked in there crawling, leave out walking. It is the Pool of Bethesda, and it's a very part of the church today that he said, I'm going to use that to send people from all over the world to be healed. He said they're going to come from all over the world to Buckingham to be healed in that tabernacle. It's so many different testimonies, but what I bring you today, I bring you my weakness. And our weakness is nothing but our strength is being used in the wrong way. That's all it is. And because we call it weakness, because we can't change it, only God can unveil it. Are you with me? See, that weakness been put there. That's a God thing. You think it's weakness. It's nothing but strength. And in order to see how strong you really are, you have to turn it over to God. So what I thought I was weak, I really am strong. But I'm only strong in him in it. Because now I'm understanding in him, I really do live, move, and have my being. I want you to know that the Lord spoke to us this morning and said, when you leave up out here today, that some of you are going to pick up your shield again. And you're going to raise it up again. And what looked to be the practical is really spiritual. You just have to see it the way God has seen it. Some of those things that seem like it's against you, it's really for you. And God is working it out. God is working out a testimony in you. He's allowing you to do things and accomplish things that other people can't do. You are wonderful and fearfully made by God. That he's helping you to see his glory and his power. There's so much more there for each one of you. You know, when I was praying this morning, Dabney, your face came to mind. You know, and the word I heard for you was the man of joy. That's your strength. That's your anointing. And the enemy is going to do everything he can to come against that. Yeah. You know, it's just the treasure here that I see in each one of you. You know, I don't know you take notice when Bill get up there. It's when he speaks in the spirit, special when it comes to leading the service. And I won't make you uncomfortable, but the things that he do and the way he do it, you can see the heart of God in it. That's a treasure that when you know and you're at that place that you're willing to follow God in these strange areas, because sometimes it makes people uncomfortable, but overall we still have to be obedient to what God is calling us to do. If you're looking for comfort in God, you're going to be looking for a long time and you ain't going to find it. God is not about making you comfortable. God is about making you holy. He said, be holy, for I am holy. He wants the holiness to rest upon each one of you and to be that light that shines into the darkness, that the darkness cannot overtake it, can't overshadow it. He wants each one of you to know that he is doing a good work in you. And the one who started shall bring it to completion. So I'm grateful for kind of just, it's just so much. I didn't know where to start it, but I can say this to you. I have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord have called you to come together to use your testimony now. The testimony that you had with each other, it's time to give it away. It's time to take it out there and give it away. It works here. It works better out there. This is preparation. That's reality. God bless you.